All right, we continue to broadcast live from Chiefs training camp. Practice wrapped up around 11 o'clock earlier today, and we had a chance to catch up with Clyde Edwards-Helaire exclusively here on 610 Sports Radio, your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. You'll hear some of that conversation coming up at 1:30. It's Alex Gold. It's Cody Tapp. Nick Schwartz back in Kansas City producing the show today. And going forward, of course, he is going to, I guess, play.
And going forward, were you planning on firing him?
No, I was getting ready to say something. And saying, okay. going forward, based on
thanks,
the text
Alex.
Line. No, but let me finish the sentence. Can I finish the sentence?
Okay.
And going forward, he is hopefully going to play what the text line is suggesting. Every time Gold does something manly, play the "Now I'm a Man" song by DVDA. That's what going forward people are requesting on the text line, Nick.
And you are the people's champ, as we all know. So
yeah, definitely.
Without even knowing that song, you're okay with that.
I have no idea what song they're talking about.
Okay, if that's what you want, man.
Looking forward to the first use of it.
Yeah, it might be a while. So we'll see.
We don't know. That's the first time.
It could be a little bit. No, we're having a good time up here in St. Joe. We'll be back tomorrow at 10 o'clock, as will Fesco in the morning. They'll be on at 6 a.m. The start of practice tomorrow at 9:15 again. And we're expected to be joined by Travis Kelce during our show. So really excited to be up here. The only show broadcasting during Chiefs practice is here on 610 Sports Radio. And as practice was going on, you know, we're seeing Tyrann Mathieu out here. They haven't got an extension done with him, which is why I don't understand when Xavien Howard's name comes up that he wants to be traded from the Dolphins, why people automatically are like, oh, the Chiefs need a trade for him. He'd be a huge boost. Yeah, he'd be a huge boost, but there's compensation draft-wise. There's finances. The reason why he wants out of Miami, he wants a new contract.
He said he doesn't want a new contract, in fairness. He said he wants a reworked contract that gives him more guaranteed money.
Well, it's a new contract, though. Come on now. Like, he signed the contract in 2018. Since he signed it, five cornerbacks have gotten bigger, more substantial deals than the one he signed. The one he signed in 2018 made him a top five paid corner in football. One of his own teammates now, Byron Jones, who was a former Cowboy, he signed a deal that makes him even more paid than Xavien Howard. You can see the issue here. The Dolphins seem to be in position to maybe take a leap if you're a believer in Tua. Xavien Howard's a hell of a football player. Some team might be willing to give him top paid cornerback money. But the Chiefs, to this point, haven't even been able to take care of Tyrann Mathieu. They might have to take care of Orlando Brown Jr. next offseason, Tyreek Hill next offseason. And now you want to throw in, make the highest paid corner. It doesn't make sense financially. And also, this is an organization that has made things work with the cornerback room without going out and investing heavily with draft picks or financially. Now, Tyrann Mathieu may play corner, but he's still not categorized as a corner. Maybe he wants to be because he'll get a bigger contract. We'll see, right? But they don't invest heavily in that position. It would go against everything they've done in the past when it comes to that position.
I also really like, underrated part of this, I really love the chemistry of this team in regards to this particular issue. I'm not out here telling you that Xavien Howard is a malcontent. I don't think that that's necessarily the case, but when you have to look at where he is, like you said, he just got paid a couple of years ago, and now he's asking for more money. Travis Kelce at one point was like the eighth highest paid tight end in the NFL. Gold, you and I both knew that that was ludicrous, that he deserved to be paid more, but he never came asking for it, did he? Tyreek Hill is currently underpaid based on the elite-level wide receivers that exist in this league, and I think it's a little different when you're having the contract negotiation because I think any team's going to come up with those. Like Chris Jones is going to be one of the highest paid interior defensive linemen, not named Aaron Donald, right? That makes sense to me. But I think that if you look at the connection there, the Chiefs don't run into this. Bringing in Xavien Howard means how long till he's unhappy with the raise you give him. Also, they just can't afford it. I'd love a new cornerback or for them to value that position a little bit better because I think that that could take them to a slightly more elite status. But you tell me how the money works. Brant Tillis is smarter than me in this department, but I still can't factor it.
And other departments.
Really? And other departments?
Yeah.
Okay. I just don't.
And me.
Okay.
What do you, of course. Yeah. What do you think? In sure. That department. I love how you had to clarify. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like in that department, he's smarter than me. Probably a few other departments as well.
I don't know. But probably
a few
yes.
Other. Probably a few
I think
other.
He has like an Ivy League degree. So he's probably smarter than me. The best school I got accepted to was not Ivy League, just so it turns out.
Thank you for clarifying.
Not even close.
I appreciate
how many
that.
Schools did you apply to? Just Kansas?
No, actually.
You were a Jayhawk the whole way?
So no, actually. I mean, that was always the school I was likely going to. But no, I applied and went through the whole process to go to Nebraska, believe it or not. There was also a school up in Minnesota called St. Cloud State University.
How the hell were you going to go to St. Cloud
State? A buddy
State?
Of mine was there. He was in there. He was a play-by-play guy for hockey. And I.
So you almost followed your friend.
He's one step away from being an NHL. He'll probably be an NHL play-by-play guy here pretty soon. Anyway.
That's a hard play-by-play gig.
It is. Anyway, so as far as the Xavien Howard, it doesn't make sense. It's like the Chandler Jones discussion we had the other day. You know, these are people that want out for a reason, financial reasons. And so you're going to come to an organization that already is trying to roll over money for next year that doesn't have any flexibility, really, you know, with even the current contract that Xavien Howard has. It just doesn't make any sense. I feel like this is going to happen as long as the Chiefs are in this window that they are in with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, where anytime there's a high-quality player, and Xavien Howard certainly is.
Chiefs fans are going to want him.
They're going to want him, and I get it, but it's just it's anytime they want to trade, well, the Chiefs to go trade for him. You can't go and trade for everybody.
The thing about paying Xavien Howard is that probably means you wouldn't pay Tyrann Mathieu. So if you're a Chiefs fan and you're interested in both, go ahead and make that decision for yourself. Are you comfortable with letting that go? Here was Tyrann Mathieu earlier, by the way. He had spoken to the media, and he claims he's not disappointed a deal isn't done yet.
I'm not disappointed at all. You know, I think most people that know me, they know I love to play football. So I have another chance to do that. So it's all about my teammates. It's all about the guys around me. And just me continuing trying to be the person that I am. So, and not letting anything outside of that kind of influence, you know, how I operate day to day.
I believe him to a point saying that, but he also was tweeting about his contract last night. And I just think that that's the kind of, like, these are the kind of sacrifices eventually you're going to have to make. And to this point, the Kansas City Chiefs, if anybody, right, Aaron Rodgers, who we'll hear from in just a minute, is talking about all these guys they didn't pay. Could you imagine trying to say that right now if you're a Chiefs fan? Veach has paid everyone. He hasn't let anyone go. He reworked Sammy Watkins' deal to keep him in town an extra year when we thought he was gone. He paid Chris Jones. He's paid Frank Clark. He's paid Patrick Mahomes. He's paid Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. I assume whoever's next on the list, I assume he's probably going to pay Tyrann Mathieu. So it's like the opposite.
Well, it got a lot dicier
scenario
today, though. I mean, I'll admit that. I mean, we and I have talked about the deadline being week one of the season. I still maintain that. I'm sure you do as well. But now that camp has arrived and he went out and practiced today, the likelihood of the extension did go down.
Sure. Just because, every day from here until
it. You know, we talk about deadlines, spur action, and all this kind of stuff. This was one of kind of those typical contract deadlines. Usually you want it taken care of by the first day of camp. And, again, he's showing up to camp. He's not threatening to not be here. He was here. He was ready to go. And not that any of us thought he wouldn't be. And so you're going to have to see the next 4 weeks or so, is there going to be any noise on that? You know, we heard from Clark Hunt earlier today. He spoke after practice and kind of mentioned, of course, they still would like to get an extension done. I think everybody wants to get the extension done. That's not the issue.
Sometimes it just doesn't work out.
It doesn't. Let's hope that's not the case, because I think Tyrann Mathieu brings so much to the table on the field, off the field, in the locker room, everything, in the community. I mean, he's the complete package. I understand there might be some concern maybe about guaranteed money past the next 2 years, and is that the stipulation? Is there also just the issue of positional value, right, in terms of he's a safety, but we know he plays slot corner a little bit. And so is there, you know, an issue on, hey, yes, he wants to be the highest paid safety. I think that's a given. But is there how much of the gap after that? Is just by a little bit? How much more
can it be the
Justin,
same?
Than
can
Justin
it be a little
Simmons
less?
Get?
Are they willing, I really to, think it's
go,
probably a year's
are they
thing.
Willing to go to the Justin Simmons number to begin with? And it might be a year's thing, but it's the guaranteed money, right? It's the is there money guaranteed potentially 3 years from now when at that point he'll be 32 or 33 versus are the Chiefs comfortable with that? We're just speculating here, but I'm sure it has to do with some things like that.
Well, and the truth is, because the cap number is going up, they kind of have to backload it a little bit, which means that's guaranteeing less money. We can offer you more money now, but it's less in guarantees. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the way they have to structure these deals right now with Mathieu, because of just where they are cap-wise. They don't have that much cap space left this year. They can create more by extending Mathieu this year, but then that means they got to push it down the road. But it's not going to come with the same guarantees, I think, or at least on the Chiefs' end right now. But also, this is how the Chris Jones thing felt. Felt like it was never going to happen, never going to happen, never going to happen.
Yeah,
then it happened.
But see, the difference is, besides the age, is that
age is a factor.
You know,
sure.
Besides age, and it's a different position, but Chris Jones was franchise tagged.
Yeah.
And in this case, Tyrann Mathieu, he's here. He's not threatening to not play or anything. He's here. He's at camp. He's ready to roll. You just
practicing today.
So it's a little bit different in that the dynamic of the need to get something done, but we're getting close. I mean, today was one of the first deadlines and didn't happen. I now also see why Nick was so questioning the song choice. I looked up what that is from the DVDA. Okay, I got you.
Is that
now.
Still what you want?
Nope. Nope. Nope.
Mickey's changing his mind.
Let's change the song, please. Let's not.
Okay, we'll stick with Macho Man for now.
Text line says, "Can you even say DVDA on the radio?" Well, I can say I can say the letters DVDA. Yes.
But what they stand for?
No. Someone said, "Should the FCC be notified?" I think they're off our back now. After they have the fine to Dusty and everything, I think they're off our backs for a little bit. I think we're good there. You brought up Aaron Rodgers' name though, man, and he's at camp, all right. And he's not holding back. It was apparently an incredible press conference that he had. We've got a couple cuts from him because I think this is a reminder of why it's important to take care of your quarterback. This is what Aaron Rodgers had to say about it really not being a destination to play up in Green Bay.
I think we can all understand, you know, Green Bay isn't, a huge vacation destination. People are coming here to play with me, to play with our team, and knowing that they can win a championship here.
I love it.
Wow.
I mean, he's not wrong. It's great. He would never have said this a year or so ago. I mean, how many quarterbacks would be willing to say that? Yeah, Devontae Adams suddenly is open to talking about his contract again. Why? Aaron Rodgers is back in the picture. That's not a coincidence.
Rodgers going out here full heel.
Love it. Love it. They're not here to come play at Lambeau Field, the frozen tundra where it's miserably cold most of the season. They're
full
coming
of town,
here
full of nothing
to play with me because I'm a first ballot Hall of Famer and I won the MVP last year.
Dang.
He went into that press conference with the mindset of, I'm going to make sure that no future free agents ever consider signing with Green Bay.
I mean,
he may have been pretty successful.
I think
he's imagine Mahomes
correct,
had said
though.
That at the end
he's
of his
correct.
Career.
He's correct.
So nobody wants to come to Kansas City, Gold. It's not exactly a vacation destination. They come to play with me. You're like, oh my God. I mean, Kansas City's obviously a better city than Green Bay. Let's not get it twisted.
Uh-huh.
But also, it's not the vacation destination that
the frozen
LA
tundra. They
have
bleachers for seats. Not that it impacts the players, but it
but
sucks.
Also, like, they've been one of the most successful franchises in history, and he's decided to burn it down. He went scorched earth today. This was also Aaron Rodgers. We talked about like how they sign everybody in Kansas City. Well, Rodgers doesn't feel that way. He thinks they've been disrespectful to several veterans over the years.
I wanted to help the organization maybe learn from them some of the mistakes in the past, in my opinion, about the way that some of the outgoing veterans were treated, and just the fact that we didn't retain a number of players that I felt like were core players to our foundation, our locker room. High character guys. I'm talking about Charles Woodson, Jordy Nelson, Julius Peppers, Clay Matthews, Randall Cobb, James Jones, John Kuhn, Brett Goode, TJ Lang, Brian Bulaga, Casey Hayward, Micah Hyde, guys who were, you know, exceptional players for us, but great locker room guys, high character guys. Many of them who weren't offered a contract at all, or were extremely lowballed, or were, you know, maybe in my opinion, not. Given the respect on the way out that guys of their status and stature and high character deserved.
So, I mean, just going on. I mean, he had a list of, what, 10 names there?
At least.
Anybody else?
He just bought back Randall Cobb, so you got to imagine he's
on the
list.
Yeah, he got his guy Randall Cobb back in a trade from the Texans. I'm sure the Texans are glad to trade him because Cobb was making like $8 million this year, and he's not what he used to be by any means, and the Texans are – you know, throwing in the towel this year anyway, so I'm sure they're fine with it. But, I mean, he lists off, you know, 10-plus guys there, and this is something we've all been aware of this throughout the offseason, but that's been fuming for a long time there. I mean, these are guys, some of these guys haven't played there in years. You know
sure.
what I mean? These aren't
he
all
– Charles Woodson. Yeah, I mean – He's in the Hall of Fame
I mean,
now.
These are long – I mean, this is going back to the beginning of his career even. He feels like the Packers organization hasn't always treated some of these veterans, and he felt like he was the type of player that could make that stand. Now, he's going to play this year, but based on this press conference today,
I'm playing after this
there's
year.
No way he's going to not, you know, under the agreement that they have, they're willing to trade him at the end of 2022, or they're giving him his choice.
So if you're a Broncos fan, you're just going to play out this last string on Fangio and Locke.
See what Locke and Teddy Bridgewater do if you're the Broncos, even if Drew Locke performs well, and Aaron Rodgers all of a sudden is available. I mean, come on, you're going to move on, and you're going to bring in Aaron Rodgers. This will be the conversation next offseason. But, man, I've never, honestly, Cody – a player that's currently on the same team they're talking about. I've never heard a player. Seriously, I've never heard a player, especially a starting quarterback, at training camp, at practice, whatever it may be. In this case, it's training camp. And just go ahead and the same organization that he's representing at that moment, just completely call them out like that. Now, he's got the power to do it, right? Where the Packers are, they
know. They've already made it clear they don't want him to leave.
Their chance at winning a Super Bowl this year resides on, you know, on Patrick, not Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers playing this year for the Packers.
It's I've seen players leave and do this, right? Steven Nelson's actually done this in his last like two
different.
Or three stops. So, and we've seen quarterbacks, like even Tom Brady has joked about being free. Tom Brady and Bill Belichick clearly had their issues over a number of years. They did a ton of winning. And he's made tons of jokes, right? He's had plenty of fun at expense of multiple things since he's left. He's way looser. He makes fun of people more casually. He made fun of Aaron Rodgers for what his own team did. But that, but not this. Not why he's on the team. That's the part of it that's kind of wild, at least on this end. Oh, and he started blaming the media, too. And I'm like, I don't know, man. You're thinking the media's making up stories about your relationship with the Packers. I got to be honest. You're not making it sound like your relationship with the Packers was all that good.
Isn't this kind of a perfect scenario, though, for everybody involved? I would say everybody except for the Packers. For
sure.
Rodgers now, he doesn't have to rush this decision of, do I really want to play for the Broncos or not? Because
he can think all year about it.
Every other organization in the league, with the exception of what? A small handful that wouldn't really be improved or wouldn't really be interested in Aaron Rodgers, now has a year to get their ducks in a row and sort of make their pitch.
I mean, well, but see, that's why I actually would say, in a way, it could still be good for the Packers. Not that it's ever good losing your Hall of Fame quarterback, but that ship has sailed, it appears, as far as the long term there. The Packers, before Rodgers decided to come to camp, they were down to maybe two or three teams. So, to your point, Nick, next offseason, there are going to be far more teams that are interested, and that means there's also going to be a higher price. I know he's a year older, but if he has another very good season, you could have 15 or 20 teams that might be interested, whereas after the draft, once the Jets drafted Zach Wilson, the Jets were out of that game, right? They're going to see what Zach Wilson can be. Justin Fields, the Bears are going to see what Justin Fields can be. Trey Lance may be out in San Francisco. I think Garoppolo has already been named the week one starter, but at some point he's going to play. Those organizations were out of the picture. There might be some new ones in once they realize. The Vikings might be interested all of a sudden after this season, for example.
Oh, boy, the old heel turn, Brett Favre, just the same road. Down the same angle.
I guess
know
the Packers,
quarterbacks.
The Packers won't trade with the Vikings, but my point being, there's just going to be more teams available.
I know quarterbacks think about these things. I was in earshot of Alex Smith in an offseason before his final year in Kansas City, and he was talking about knowing his time was coming to an end in Kansas City because you draft Patrick Mahomes and you do that. Rodgers knew that the second they drafted Jordan Love. He was just trying to expedite the process rather than probably, honestly, if you think about it, what happened to him with Brett Favre, where he sat longer than probably you would normally do it. And maybe that's why the Packers would be willing to pay Jordan Love just like they paid Aaron Rodgers. But then you're underpaid if you hold on like that because you have to accept a contract before you've ever been proven you're an MVP-caliber quarterback. And it's a vicious cycle. But, yeah, I don't think I've ever seen a quarterback go full heel on his own team that he's going to be a first-ballot Hall of Famer for that he's currently playing with. He's on that team.
You know the Packers had to have an idea that, I mean, what are they, you know, considering how toxic the offseason was, maybe they didn't, I would think they would have had to have an idea that he was going to be unfiltered in this press conference setting.
Boy,
because what are you going to do? What are you going
to
do?
Media relations guy this year.
For the Packers?
Aaron, they're probably going to ask me this, like, look, bro, I don't care. I don't care what they ask me about.
I'm going to say whatever
I
want.
Whatever the hell I want,
and
there's nothing you could do about it.
That's exactly what Aaron
Rodgers
did.
He had notes, too. Like, you could tell when he was listing off all those players, he kept looking down to the podium. Like, he came prepared for today.
Yeah, I mean, he wanted to get this off his chest and make people aware. And now that the agreement is in place for him to move on and the 2023 contract year is voided, according to the reports that are out there, he's got all this freedom and power in that regard. As if, what are the Packers going to do? Fine him? Are you kidding me? Are they going to fine him because he made comments detrimental to the organization?
Are you allowed to fine players for that?
I don't know. You can make comments towards an organization. I don't know. It's the NFL. You probably find a reason to fine anybody. They're not going to.
Disgruntled quarterback offseason is very enjoyable. I'm still mad at Tom Brady for all the winning he's done forever and now for winning the Super Bowl last year, but he's been more enjoyable. Deshaun Watson's outside playing defense today. They had him lined up at corner today. They're like, well, we're paying you. Do something.
Wait, what?
They had him lined up at cornerback today. It was legitimately the case of, you're here, we're paying you, do something.
Was he, like, what? Actually, wait, was he putting forth effort? Was he
just standing there?
The video looks like he was covering a guy.
Just standing there.
I mean, it's the first day of training camp practice. I don't think he was going full bore. But he was lining up against wide receivers today. It's just like a, hey, act like you have something to do here.
That'll probably smooth things over with him. I'm sure he loved that.
Yeah, Tyrod Taylor can
well, they
play
can't
quarterback,
give him the quarterback
and Deshaun Watson can play corner, you know?
Deshaun Watson would probably be a better corner than Marcus Cooper.
Well, Deshaun
Why
Watson.
Did I make fun of it? That was just an unnecessary
That's twice today. Twice today.
That was why he was the
Marcus
first name
Cooper
that came
out. Yeah, how are you going to do it for a second time and then ask yourself why you're doing it?
Not
even,
I'm sorry,
it wasn't even the shot at Marcus Cooper. We were talking about Charvarius Ward. He was one of our camp question feature players today as we take a look at a different player every day.
Camp questions.
And you compared Charvarius Ward to Marcus Cooper in some way, and I said, wow, that's unnecessary. Charvarius Ward has been far more consistent.
I was just saying,
Marcus
like, Cooper looked good for a while and then, until he didn't.
Yeah, that's a shot at not Cooper. That's a shot at Charvarius Ward.
So now I'm just taking shots at everybody.
Look, Charvarius Ward is probably going to come on the show at some point in the next couple weeks.
Why would you bring that up?
You know, I mean, do you think you've had a better career than Marcus Cooper?
He clearly has had. That's not even close to what I was saying, at least at that stage. Now you're just going to get me in trouble with Charvarius Ward because I said sometimes corners, especially less touted guys, can look pretty good for a while and then get exposed by a league that has game film. He had a down year. I'm sure he knows that. I'm hoping he has a resurgence this season.
No, ask him if he got exposed last year.
Is that the way I should put it? It's like blowing to my microphone.
I don't think you can say. Yeah, I don't think you can. You can go to
I'm
that.
I'm not going
to
put it that.
You know, you can find a way. Like, were you disappointed in your play last year? Seems like the way that.
Did you think it compared to the year before? I don't think that's an unfair question.
Whatever,
Eric Hosmer.
Yes, Eric Hosmer did not like the questioning from a Padres reporter. We played that around the trade deadline and stuff like that. Thinking of guests, though, tomorrow we are expected to have Travis Kelce on the show. So if you've got something you want us to ask Travis Kelce, you can text some of those in, the 913-576-7610. Send us a tweet at Cody B. Tapp, at Alex Gould.
Do you think Travis Kelce has ever replaced a toilet seat?
Yes. Come on, man. Midwestern boy from Cincinnati? Absolutely.
Oh, man. Yeah, but that...
Do you think he's
ever he would have had to do it in his childhood. Like he's not doing it now. I don't think.
You think he could replace a solenoid?
No.
Yes.
Oh, we're gonna we do.
I'm giving Kelce way more credit.
I think these both. I bet you he's had swordfish. I bet you he's had swordfish. I apologize for not asking Clyde Edwards-Helaire that question. But
next time he comes on the show, I swear.
Yeah. That definitely needs to happen. Thinking of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, we did ask him about perhaps the increase in involvement in the passing game that we could see this year. Here, Clyde Edwards-Helaire next here on 610 Sports Radio.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio. What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
For a one on what's trending, well, the first full day of practice for the Chiefs here in 2021 up in St. Joe has concluded earlier on 11 o'clock or so. No injuries to report from today's practice. Good start, obviously, to training camp, but it was our first look at a couple of the rookies with the veterans, and that would mean what would the offensive line look like, and we know that Creed Humphrey got reps with the first team. Trey Smith got reps with first team, which was nice to see. And then also, if you take a look at who was here, anybody wondering whether Frank Clark or Tyrann Mathieu would be here? The answer is both. Frank Clark has off-the-field issues, of course, that still have to be all sorted out. Is there a suspension or not? He was good to go at practice today. Despite a contract issue for Tyrann Mathieu, he was here at practice and spoke to the media after the show as well. So it's great to be back up in St. Joe. We had the season ticket holders that were here today, and then a little bit later on in the week, there's going to be open to the general public if you reserved your tickets online through the Chiefs website. But it felt like camp today. Monday was going to be up here, but it was a light practice, and there weren't even some of the quarterbacks around. Yeah, and there was no fans. It was quiet. You got the music blasting today. You had some energy, a roar or two from the fans when Mecole Hardman caught a touchdown pass from Patrick Mahomes.
That matters at least a little bit. Next up on What's Trending, the Royals' winning streak ended last night. The hands of the White Sox. Bullpen imploded late. It was Kyle Zimmer who ended up giving up the go-ahead home run, although he wasn't responsible for all the runners he came in to face at that point. But what this tells you, I mean, the Royals are still in the same position. They were on a six-game winning streak, and it felt good, Gold. I'm glad when they win. But at the same time, we are slightly more than 48 hours away from the trade deadline, 3 o'clock on Friday. And now we're finding out who is still going to be on this roster come that time. I think you can make a large argument. There's plenty of players here still for Kansas City that can, and in some cases, should be moved for prospects getting back into the system as the Royals continue to try to get back towards relevance since a couple of rough years here over the last few.
It's going to be fascinating to see if there's any more talk that comes out around tomorrow or Friday morning, because otherwise are we going to be sitting here Friday at 3:05 in Kansas City and say, wow, they didn't do anything. So then what does that tell us about 2022? Are they thinking they're actually competitive in 2022 and banking on Nick Prado and Bobby Wood Jr. kind of carrying this team, or do they realize, no, it's time, we got to push this thing back. Unfortunately, it's not the time when we thought. We're willing to trade some pieces that are under contract past 2022. Next up on What's Trending, I'm going to be headed to this national card show in Chicago over the weekend. And just to give you an idea of how much the card market has blown up, Patrick Mahomes had a one-of-one National Treasures autographed rookie card sell for $4.3 million. His rookie card. Yeah, that's a record, by the way. Somebody, I'm sure it's not the original owner, had it graded. He graded it as an 8.5, so the best would be a 10. So it's not terrible condition, but not the best condition.
That seems pretty good, honestly.
$3 million.
What's the highest graded card you own?
I don't actually grade my cards because the process is expensive and takes forever to get them back. I've got most of my stuff's in packaging, just not graded. So, like, I have a couple Bobby Wood Jr. rookie stuff that I'm obviously holding on to if he turns out to be who we all think he's going to be. I need some Bobby Wood. When I go to Chicago, I want a Bobby Wood Jr. auto card or two, though. I only have a couple of his normal cards.
Well, when you head to Chicago this weekend, you can certainly look for it. Next up on What's Trending, Lamar Jackson missed the start of Ravens camp this week after a flagged COVID test came back for him. Could be out a couple of days, at least on their end. Nothing major worrisome on that end. He had missed some OTAs due to a positive COVID test earlier in the year. This one flagged by the NFL, at least at this stage. So he missed today. He'll likely miss tomorrow, but they'll find out whether or not Lamar Jackson can join him. I figure if you're any of these teams, I would want zero setbacks at all if I'm chasing the Chiefs in the AFC.
Can't
if I'm the Ravens, if I'm the Bills, I can afford even less than the Chiefs can. Some injury, some miscommunication, some hiccup that causes problems. This is very small and very early, but still something to monitor.
Yeah, it's probably going to be all right for Lamar Jackson and all that, but this is kind of still going to be a story throughout training camp for any of these teams, despite even the teams that have the high vaccination rate, and the Chiefs are one of them that have a high vaccination rate. You're still going to have players that might test positive, and then you're going to miss out a couple days. I know Winchester, unfortunately, he's on the COVID list right now. He's going to be out for a little bit, and that's why they brought in a long snapper, and we saw a different long snapper snapping to Tommy Townsend on field goals to Harrison Butker.
I'm sad that
very,
the music is over this because
Nick
can't use it for a project he's working on.
What's that?
I said I'm sad that there's sound over this because then maybe Nick won't be able to use it for a project he's working on.
That's right. That's right.
Talking about the different long snappers to Tommy Townsend.
Don't be spoiling it.
I said a project that you were working on.
But
that's
Harrison Butker, he was
no longer cursed by me.
Well, we hope not.
We're pretty sure.
That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold as we have a little bit longer here from St. Joe today before we're right back up tomorrow. Can't wait for tomorrow as well. It'll be day two. Get an idea also. Do they continue to have the same guys run out there with the first team? And excited to talk to Travis Kelce. But today we had a chance to check in with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. People thinking this could be another big year, a big step forward for him. I think I view Clyde Edwards-Helaire as someone that last year had a very nice season, but people want to see him more involved in the passing game. And we started off talking to Clyde about what's it like to be at camp this year. You got fans around. It's something he didn't get to experience a year ago.
Like in the training room on the way out, I was telling Trav, man, this is gonna be exciting. The first time that I was, you know, around fans was the Houston game, so this is this was amazing for me, man. It bringing the energy and everything is great, man. I just wish we could interact with the fans, but other than that, man, it's been pretty good.
We figured you were used to practice with a lot of fans anyway back in your LSU days, right? I mean, those spring practices would be pretty big.
Yeah, sometimes, but Coach O was big on kind of keeping everything locked up and closed in, but. I mean, the times that we did have, you know, fan practices, I mean, it was probably close, but nowhere near like this. This is pretty crazy.
Coach O, I figured everybody who plays for him has an impression. Do you?
What'd you say?
You've never been asked that before, I'm sure. You were ready to roll with it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I get it. I get it a couple of times. But, I mean, it's just the old Coach O thing, man. Everybody, that crazy voice, bro, it's so distinctive.
We're talking to Clyde Edwards-Helaire here on 610 Sports Radio. We had you on, Clyde, right after you were drafted last year. And at that point in time, you told us, you know, you've got this nice garage. You're into cars and everything. So what was the project this offseason?
The project was my 69 Camaro. It's a RSSS convertible. It's a 427 LSX motor. But, you know, that's kind of my pride and joy, that one. I have also a 1970 Chevelle that I'm doing. It's a 454. And I also have my 1988 Monte Carlo that I'm doing.
Who's the other car guy on the team? I think Frank's kind of into cars too, right?
Yeah. Frank Sneed is kind of working into it. Daryl's big in the kind of racing. You know, he has some fast cars, but other than that, I'm a big old school classic guy. You know, that's just my cup of tea.
Are you, like, full-blown rebuilding it from ground up? Because, like, I got on vacation and had car trouble, and I changed a solenoid, and I was impressed by myself. That's an easy
– the Monte Carlo was frame off. The Camaro was frame off. Everything is ground up, man. That's like my first car. It didn't run a drive. So it was kind of just like I kind of got in the garage and got after it, and it was a Mustang GT, and it was kind of just like, you know, if you could fix it, then go ahead. And I just kind of got into it.
Did someone just give it to you and said if you can fix it, or was it just like, I'm gonna buy this cheap car that looks cooler and I'll make it run?
When my biological father actually got out of prison, man, that was kind of like his thing. You know, he was in the cars, and the first thing he did was he got me my first one. So it was kind of sentimental to me. I still have it, but it's not in my top five right now.
How's it drive?
Oh, it drives good. I mean, it's for sale if anybody wants it.
We're talking to Clyde Edwards-Helaire here on 610 Sports Radio. I asked you, you know, having fans out here at camp is a different experience than you had a year ago. But for you, just on terms of on the field, does it feel different already? Are things slower for you here in year two already during camp?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. You know, last year it was just leading up to it. It was kind of nothing. You know, everything was kind of kept getting pushed back. And I was just kind of in the playbook and everything was kind of virtual. But, you know, it's better when you can actually have a year to actually go through everything. But then, man, I mean, I had a whole season. I'm bringing in the same, you know, pretty much the same group of guys, same quarterback, and same set of plays, you know, tweaks here and there because it's a new season. But other than that, everything's pretty much, you know, feeling good and slow.
What's the next step for you? A lot of people will look at when you were drafted and were excited about your ability to be involved in the passing game as well. You got a smile on your face right now. Do you feel like that's coming this year for you?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I mean, you know, this is first practice, first group install. You know, we had a couple routes out of the backfield today, but, you know, we have some stuff coming in.
Patrick has talked a bunch about how happy he is about some of the changes in the offensive line. I think that's always we look at because we go back to the Super Bowl and you see, you know, Patrick running around trying to do whatever he can. But that impacts you too, right? I mean,
oh,
I assume that when you see all these additions to the offensive line, you got to be really excited about.
Oh yeah, most definitely, man. Every time we had an addition, you know, it was kind of just, you know, we have a big group message in the offense, man, and it was all electric. Every time we got somebody added in, I mean, it was exciting. And then, you know, just for me, man, you know, just the group as the offense, you know, you need help running the ball. You know, can't do everything by yourself. And I mean, it's the same thing for passing the ball. So, you know, as far as the skill position on the offensive side, man, we knew, you know, as soon as we got those guys coming in, we knew it was going to be some great news.
Clyde, some of the guys on the offensive line have talked about the attitude that Trey Smith is bringing, that Orlando Brown is bringing. Have you noticed that as well? It seems like they're both really nice guys. We've had a chance to talk to them. But then on the field, they kind of bring something maybe that the team hasn't had as much on the O-line in the past from an attitude standpoint.
Oh, yeah. Probably the nicest guys, you know, in person you will ever meet, man. But as soon as they throw that helmet on, it's a completely different ballpark. I mean, it's just – you know, it's a aggressive composure. You know, kind of how they work, man. It's they're kind of pinpointing everything that they need to do, and then once they kind of engage, I mean, I wouldn't want to be engaged with Orlando or Trey.
Well, they're on your side, so
yeah,
it's good.
I know. You know what I'm saying? But once they get the rolling, man, it's pretty good. It's pretty nice.
We said this is your first trip up to St. Joe, so this is your first experience with fam. This is also your first time staying in the dorms and doing the whole thing. We know normally it's like, hey, who gave you advice to bring the mattress pad? I'm just curious, what are you watching on Netflix?
Man, right now, so yesterday I was watching 100 Humans. I don't know if anybody watched it on Netflix, but it's like, you know, they do the group of 100 Humans. They kind of just like do little scenarios,
yeah,
or just different little – and just kind of, you know. And then before I went to sleep last night, I watched something on lumber, just trying to figure out why lumber's so high. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy. Like, trying to rebuild something right now, trying to build a house is absolutely ridiculous. But, you know, I'm big into stuff like that, just different little things, man. It kind of gets my mind off football, but – why not kind of, you know, spark your mind in something else and figure out what's going on in the world?
Build your own car, and you know, just build your own house.
Build your own car, build your own. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
just do it.
Once you know, if you can do it yourself, you save yourself a lot of money.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire, appreciate you stopping by, man. Enjoy the rest of camp, and
right.
I know the fans excited to see you guys get out there some more throughout the next couple weeks.
Yes, sir. Y'all have good. Y'all have a good day.
So that was Clyde Edwards-Helaire with us here exclusively on 610 Sports Radio, your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, and he seems excited about this offensive line for obvious reasons, but also for him to maybe be more involved in the passing game. That means perhaps more opportunities for the screen game, and I know you guys could kind of hear it in his voice when we asked him about the O-line and all that. But also, I can just tell you, he had a huge smirk on his face when we started asking about him being more involved in the passing game. You know that's something he's excited for. He's like, hey, basically, I can't tell you guys everything, what we got planned. But you know, based on even his comments from minicamp, I think we're going to see him split out wide. We haven't in day one, screen game a little bit. We haven't seen him split out wide yet in camp. It's only day one, and that's stuff that they probably won't show for a while.
No, but they did a couple, right? There were a couple of screen passes today. I think a big part, a huge key, like we talked about the guys that are on the offensive line. But if the screen game's going to be a part of this, they got to spend some of this time getting that right, Gold. This is not a unit that's worked together. It's four new offensive linemen and Mike Remmers right now. Based on the ones that ran out there today. Trey Smith was at right guard with the ones. Creed Humphrey was at center with the ones. And we know the additions of Tooney and Orlando Brown. So if you're going to get that to be a part of it, Clyde's certainly more comfortable in the offense because now he gets a full camp. He's had a full year in the system. But the offensive line needs time to sort those things. They need time to work on their run blocking and pass blocking and all this stuff too. But if they're going to make the screen game part of the offense, that's going to be important to figure out whether or not this offensive line is good at blocking that.
And for Clyde, just him on a personal level, I mean, so much of his success this year is going to be dictated. Does the O-line become what we think it's going to become? I told you, I think it'll be a top 10 offensive line in football. So much of his success is going to be predicated on whether or not this offensive line is that. And if it is, because of the opportunity in the passing game, I think that's where we could be sitting here in December and say, man, Clyde took a step forward. Again, I don't think he was someone last year that had a disappointing rookie year. You might have wanted him more involved in the receiving game, but I didn't view it as a disappointment. But there's plenty of excitement of like knowing that there's something else there because we saw in college how aggressive he was or how impactful he was, I should say, in the passing game. And last year we only got a little taste of that. And so this offensive line hopefully allows him to do that. And with that, maybe that's part of your way you fill a little bit of the void of Sammy Watkins being gone in terms of
maybe,
you know,
the
targets. Or you know, maybe some of those targets go towards Clyde Edwards-Helaire either directly out of the backfield or he ends up at some point lining up in the slot. Andy Reid has something up his sleeve, I'm sure, as we get closer to the season.
I mean, honestly, if he lined up in the slot, and I've told you I'm generally anti-taking running backs if you say you're going to line them up in the slot all the time.
Yeah, but it's not.
But to use them occasionally, I'm not.
I don't think they would do it
all
the time.
Well, because if Travis Kelce's flexed out wide, and so is Tyreek Hill, and now the two slot receivers are Mecole Hardman and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Clyde is definitely going to be on a linebacker. And he's not going to press him on the line, which means he's just going to have to keep up with Clyde running routes. That doesn't seem like an easy thing to guard, especially when we're talking about where I think the Chiefs' offense is going to need the most help, which is third and five, third and six. Just another safety valve for Patrick Mahomes that isn't just Travis Kelce. You know, because Tyreek Hill, he does that too. Obviously, anybody can be hit on third down. But Watkins had become that security blanket and was, remember, big early. He had like, oh, Sammy Watkins, healthy right now. He's got 16 catches, 12 are for first downs. I don't need Clyde to be that, but I just need him to be that sometimes where you don't know where the ball's going because I think last year they became slightly more predictable in those scenarios.
The other guy that we talked about a little bit, just noticing here on day one, besides Clyde, besides Mecole Hardman catching a touchdown from Mahomes that kind of had the loudest roar of practice, is Noah Gray got some work with the ones today. I don't know what to make of it, honestly. It's day one. But Noah Gray
keep
out
Travis
there with
Kelce
the ones.
Fresh at the very least.
Yeah, I mean, look, we know who the number one tight end is, but Blake Bell, we presume, is the number two tight end. But I'll just say Noah Gray got, you know, got those reps with the ones. It's just something to keep an eye on, I think, with him. That we know they like him. They drafted him for a reason. They also, if you just can read between the lines a little bit on what they had said during minicamp about him, they think he is someone that can allow them to have some different looks just based on his athleticism that maybe a Nick Kizer or a Blake Bell is not able to provide. The question will be, do they trust a rookie like that going forward? I think what we already got answered is if you're someone they can trust, if you can be consistent, they're going to give you at least a chance, right? And so Trey Smith,
correct.
The reason why he's out there with the ones, Andy Reid said when he was asked about it today, He's been consistent. Consistency was the word that Andy Reid used. I would imagine if you were to ask him why was Noah Gray on day one getting some work with the ones?
Consistency.
Probably been a little more consistent than some others. Doesn't mean Blake Bell's not going to end up getting more snaps as the season goes on. But early on, they're going to give some of these young guys, I love it, an opportunity to go and earn a spot on this team and maybe a more impactful role in some cases if we're talking about Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith.
I think so. And Trey Smith, obviously him running with the ones now is a very good sign. But we know that they'll test some things. That doesn't mean that he's going to be the one the rest of the way. He's going to have to remain that consistency, especially because they have other options. They have plenty of other veteran options at guard available to them. So I don't think that they're just going to be stuck in their ways, but it will matter. It will consistently be something we keep an eye on every single day, because there's no way to know what the offensive line was going to look like until we got out here. We thought Trey Smith had a chance to be the guard because everyone was bragging about what Trey Smith looked like. But until he stepped on the field and he was there, we weren't sure if it was going to be Austin Blythe. We weren't sure what the second lineup was going to look like. But for the first time ever, the second string offensive line is about what they started in the Super Bowl last year. That's not a good scenario if you're starting that entire offensive line, but that's how I view the second team. Austin Blythe and Niang and LDT, like that would be comparable to the offensive line they started in the Super Bowl last year. And for now, anybody who needs to be replaced on an offensive line is not likely to bring the whole thing down, unless, of course, like any team, right? If it's left tackle, it's a problem. But that remains to be the one position where you would be screwed.
Kyle Long's on the pup list. We know that injury, unfortunately, he suffered, I guess it's been back on mid-June, June 10th or so, when he had that injury. At least we knew about the injury. He's going to be on the pup list, could be on the pup list to start the season. We'll find out. If Kyle Long's not hurt, does Trey Smith run with the ones today?
No.
I actually, based on Andy Reid's answer, I think at least they would have let him run with the ones. I would say it would be a lot less likely that he would win the job. But out of the gate, Kyle Long took a year off, just like LDT. I think they would still give this initial opportunity like they did today. If Trey Smith is as consistent as Andy Reid described today, I actually think even if Kyle Long was healthy, Trey Smith would have got reps with the ones. Maybe they're less reps. Maybe Kyle Long getting more work. But LDT was clearly worth the twos today.
Yes, because I said he took an entire year off.
And so did Kyle Long. Yeah.
I don't want to, and I get it, so did Lucas Niang, which is why my expectations for him, because I would have gone into this year being like, if Lucas Niang isn't a starter on this offensive line, what the hell's gone wrong? If he had played last year.
That's basically a rookie camp for him.
Yeah. Essentially, that conversation with him now is next year. We have that conversation with Lucas Niang next year. He needs to find his way out.
The final word.
Thanks again to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who joined us. Really fun guy to talk to. We've had a chance to have him on the show a couple different times. Got a great personality. Obviously excited about the start of this season. Buy his car?
Yeah, you gonna buy his car?
No. You gonna pay for it? He never gave us a price, did he?
We should have asked.
Textline was offering dollar amounts, but I think they're a little low.
Do you? I don't know what it looks like.
Someone said $1,000.
Okay, well.
A little low.
That's a little low.
Tomorrow, we're expected to be joined by Travis Kelce, one-on-one here exclusively on 610 Sports Radio. We're back at it tomorrow from St. Joe. Hopefully, to have a chance to see some of you guys over the next couple of days. We'll be broadcasting about 14 or so different practices, the only show in KC during practice. Same time and everything tomorrow. Coming up next, the guys on the drive will talk plenty more Chiefs football here on 610 Sports Radio.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.